This was a choice God made that I'm not sure about. You know, putting all of his power into our hands. What was he thinking? You know, seriously. Have you ever asked that? You know, when you get a revelation, you realize God put this power and might into our hands and said, you're going to rule the earth for me. And you go, why didn't you just stay and do it? That would have been better, wouldn't it? I mean, there's more of us, but he's him, you know. But he wants to be him again through you. And that's tough. But it happens in lordship. I think a lot of times it doesn't happen because not many of us have figured out this lordship thing. We talked about this last night. Our church has been chewing on this for a while, and we're not there yet, but we're getting it. And I've met some people who walk in lordship. They're on the other side of lordship, and they have fruit and power and intimacy. All those things we long for, they're walking in. And I'm heading there. And I wish I was there, but I'm heading there. So when I look at God's mighty power is in my hands to do the kingdom, I go, something's got to change right here. Amen? Something's got to change in you guys. I've met you. Something has to change in you. All right? So everybody I've met here, I go, something's got to change there. You know, which doesn't make you any different from us. We got to change. Because Sisseton needs something more than you. Doesn't it? It needs Jesus walking around in skin. It needs Jesus walking around in somebody that's you. I mean, I understand. I grew up in a town like this in Wisconsin, and it was rough and it was hard, and people didn't even come to my area. Like traveling ministers stopped coming because they said there's no anointing in that area. It's dead. I don't even go there, and they don't give big offerings, and the worship doesn't work. All that stuff. It was just this dead area. So we didn't have much of a chance. I've been praying for that area. Things are starting to cook, but it's still hard. And Sisseton can be, there's some tough stuff here. When I was here the first time, I realized that you guys were kind of heroes in the kingdom because there's an oppression here and a heavy spiritual burden here. Hey, my friend, there's a heavy spiritual burden here. And you guys walk under that every day. And you don't just walk under it. You're trying to shoulder up under it in Jesus and push that off, right? And you're not just doing that because you want a better life. You're doing that for the kingdom. Yeah. You're doing that for the lost out there. You're doing that to change the area here. Yes. And we're in Chaska, but we've decided to be on your side. Okay? We're trying to shoulder with you. And we're doing that with India too. You know, Jeff's here because we're shouldering that with an area that speak Telugu language over there, and we're kind of claiming that area, and we're shouldering for them because it's a lot worse there. If you were here in Sisseton going, wow, this is hard, and you go to where Jeff lives, you go, oh, Sisseton is easy. This is hard. Because where Jeff sat, it's hard. And, you know, the pastors there I just saw a picture of one of my friends there that just got cut up with a machete, and he lived, but, you know, and he's got his whole stomach area came out and had to be put back together because he got attacked by radicals, you know, and these guys know that, but they're out there preaching. Ah, that's not easy, you know, and the oppression that's there. It's a tough place to be. So it's you guys are under it, and Chaska's got stuff too, but this is different. So we're on your side. We're fighting for you. It's what the body of Christ has got to do, right?
Yeah.
We're on each other's side. Spence?
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure, yeah. I trust you.
Yay. This is Spence.
Hi, everybody. I'm Spencer. Hi. Yeah, I got some highs. So I wanted to encourage you guys. I felt led to walk around your church property today and kind of pray for you guys and for the area and stuff. And I was trying to sense, you know, kind of what Mike's talking about, like see what the spiritual atmosphere here is like. And I heard this from someone yesterday, and God kind of repeated it to me today, that the church grounds that you guys have here, and I felt this kind of extended to the Snaza's home as well, but it's like a sanctuary, and like there's a lightness, there's a different atmosphere like on this property because of the faithfulness of all of you guys to come here and lift up the Lord and you know, fight and contend for your area. So I felt like God said, right, and I've been feeling this peace since I got here. I'm like, that on this property, there's a lot of anointing. And I felt like God wants you guys to radiate that out.
Amen.
And like from here, like be a beacon of hope to the community, you know, and extend, you know, all the lordship stuff that Mike's going to be talking about, you know, seeking to make as you walk around with God as your Lord, through, you know, wherever you live, you know, through the town, through the whole area, that you're inviting God to come and be the Lord of the land that you're walking on and the people that you're coming to. So I just pray a blessing over you guys that you can extend that Lord and that love, and you can plead the blood of Jesus over the land, and that this area will be a place of rest for everybody, not just this church, but this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo!
Young hairy hippies speaking the word of God. Love it. Yeah, well, yeah. There are old hippies that were actual hippies. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for putting that in focus. So I realize we're supposed to do this, but I don't always know how. Trent, but Jesus did this, right? He walked around and poured out a different kingdom. You know, he was not like the people around him. He came from someplace else and lived a different way and oozed who he was out until it changed everything around him. He dominated even though he was one, right? The one dominated the all and then spread that out until it's all over the world now. And it's in you. That same dominant spirit is in you and changing you and lives in us. And it's for the same purpose. We're supposed to dominate the world in love and in hope and pour it out until it changes. I've seen this happen in India. I've seen it happen in the biggest one I ever saw was in Ireland. We went into a town and we cried out for this town. We prayed for this town that had been really oppressed. Nobody had gotten saved in this town for over 50 years that they knew of. No one. It was just locked down, satanic ugliness, and you could feel it. And we spent days praying and strategically loving and pouring out the opposite spirit, and it broke, and 18 people got saved the first day, and they were all brothers and sisters, husband, wives, loved ones of the people in the church that we were praying with, and they did rejoice, and it's broken it loose. It's that church is full now. So God can do this. There can be a change. It doesn't feel like it. If you live here, you're like, this is how it's always going to be. It is what it is. That's a demonic statement, you know, and so it isn't is what it is. It can be what God calls it to be. It can be is what it really is. It can be. But it depends on us, which is the part I kind of go, why'd you do that? But Jesus lived in a way that caused change. There was a guy, historically, a Roman.
Pilate.
Was it Pilate?
I thought that's what you said.
Maybe. Pilate was driving by and on a chariot. And he saw Jesus and he'd heard about him. I think you're right. And he turned to his servant that was really important to him. And he said, hey, follow that guy for a week and tell him if he's my enemy. That was his job. Tell me if he's my enemy. And so the guy got off and followed him for a week, wrote down what he said, interviewed, talked to Jesus, all that stuff. He must have heard the Sermon on the Mount because he wrote some of that down in there. He says things like this, and he wrote some quotes from the Sermon on the Mount. And or maybe Jesus just said that stuff a lot. And then he talked about Jesus, talked about his friends. And then the last paragraph of the letter, he said, you can't hold eye contact with this man. His eyes, his body and his face doesn't look interesting. He doesn't stand out. But when you look at his eyes, it's hard to look at his gaze because he's so pure. Can you imagine that? What Jesus' eyes were like? He describes his eyes in a whole paragraph. And then his last sentence says, this man is an enemy of no one. Whoa. I love that. When I read that, I went, you know, this should be at the end of the Bible as a cool, you know, thing. But I love that. And I think that's, and I don't look, you know, I'm not special, but I hope there's something in my eyes. And you maybe don't look special, but I've seen stuff in your eyes, okay? Some of you guys twinkle. Some of you guys are sober. Some of you guys have hope in your eyes, right? Rick's got more hope in his eyes now than he did when he walked in. Touched by Jesus helps that. having hope in your eyes when you walk up to somebody who doesn't have hope. Yep. They see that and go, where did you get that?
Yeah.
Don't they? Yep. I mean, you still do that with other people. You see somebody with joy and you're like, what did you just smoke or eat? Or get, did somebody pray for you? You know, well, you want to know what happened there, you know? Maybe not so you can do it too, but you want to know, okay, in case there's something available, because we're all looking for more. The people out there are looking for the first thing of life. They're hungry for it. There was a couple people here last night when we were sharing in the back, and I saw them just like this. They're just this hunger, like, please, let this be true. You know, I love to see that when Jesus is in the room, because he will answer that call. And he'll answer through us. Sorry, I'm going to get excited. I make noises. It's an Irish thing, I guess, or it's a Jesus thing. I think it's a Jesus thing. You actually should all look forward to this in your future. So you're going to be making noise at Jirish? Yeah, maybe. Jesus Irish. Anyway. So we're going to live in the Spirit. That's what we're going to learn to do, like Jesus did. We're going to walk around, hearing from heaven and pouring it out, and everybody's going to look at us like, wow, you're not me. You're something more. That's our hope, isn't it? People look and go, you're something more. That life, the essence, the what you walk in, what I need that. That's what we want. This church has got to be that. Other churches in there, we got to be that. We got to bring the light. It's the plan of God. So what does it mean? Let's look. Trent. Okay, Trent already. This is Galatians 5, 22 to 25. Live by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. And it starts with this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what people see in your eyes. That's what people see in your words. That you talk to them, they're like, well, that was a gentle word. You talk to them and they feel encouraged. They're like, what do you have? You talk, they may say something of death and you go, oh no, life. And they go, discouragement, and you go, oh no, hope. You know? And you do that. And so when I sat down with Rich, I said, Rich, I used to be crippled. My right leg got destroyed. Jesus touched it. I'm walking now, dude. That can be yours. And he's like, oh, I got nerve damage. I said, so did I. God can do this. And he's like, okay. So we walked around and it's feeling a lot better. I hope he's running by the end of the day. Yeah. It's my birthday. That's what I asked for, dude. All right. Against such things, there is no law. So we start with that fruit from abiding. That's what it comes from, right? This stuff in our eyes comes from abiding. The stuff that comes out of our mouth, it comes from abiding. Being near here and staying in him comes from abiding. But then it says, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It means to march along with. And this is the thing. If you're going to abide in Jesus, you got to keep up. Abiding isn't inviting him down to where you are and saying, could you live here with me? Down here where it's hard. He's like, I'll come here to get you, but we're going to walk out. And then I'm going to march, and you need to stay right next to me. That's abiding. Abiding is moving.
Yes.
You abide on the way to where he's. It's an upward call of Christ. Amen. Abiding isn't sitting someplace with Jesus. It's keeping up with him, keeping in step with him. Does that make sense? Because that's not how we think about it. That's not how I think about it. It's how God thinks about it. Keep in step. Walk with me. I'm going someplace really good for you. I'm going someplace where you become a carrier, a channeler of the kingdom of God. I'm going someplace where you are so transformed that you radiate me and it changes lives.
Yes.
And that nobody's excluded from that. Everybody here has that in their future. If you don't say no, if you say yes and keep going and keep in step, that's where you're going to be. I know that because I was a worthless human. And without Jesus, I still am. I mean, I'm glad you didn't meet me then. Ugh. So keeping in step sometimes gets you to weird situations. Trent! I mean, people harass Peter because he sunk, right? But the dude got out of the boat.
Come on.
Come on. I mean, would you have? I mean, he asked for it. Hey, if this is you, get me out there. That's abiding. That's what abiding is. You keep in step. You're walking on the water. Oh, I'm going to walk on the water. You're going to raise up and come out of death into new life. So am I. You're going to share and pray for the sick. So am I. You're going to, you keep in step with what he's doing and what he did. You keep in step. You abide with him. And one of the greatest visions I ever had was when I was a young man, and God was setting me up for success and being a man of God. And I saw this, I'll just cut it really short. I saw this war scene, and I was with God, and I was a warrior, and I was leading some war, and I ended up down in this pit, and I'm slicing up these demonic things and rescuing people and doing this stuff. And in the middle of it, I looked over, and I realized Jesus was right there next to me. I'm going to cry. I never planned this. I looked over, and I went, like, you know, you went, like, it's you. And he looked at me with this. He was like, thanks for being here. Like that kind of look, thanks for being here. Right next to me. And he went back to work. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is where fellowship is. Right where, doing what he's doing. Being out here. This is why I haven't felt him, because he's out here. And if I get out here with him, I'm abiding. If I get out here with him, if I keep in step with him, I get fellowship with him because I'm abiding. I'm doing what he's doing. And he's a warrior. He's a rescuer, right? Yeah. You be about what he's doing, you get deep fellowship with him. Ah, on the water, doing the impossible. Trent! It's becoming a grunt. It's not really a word anymore. Trent! John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Now, when you guide somebody, you walk alongside with them, right? And you got to keep in step with them, right? You don't say, okay, you guide me, I'll be along in a while. No, you keep in step. Yesterday, I was at Snaza's. What a last name, Snaza. Do you guys ever, people say, who's your pastor? Well, he's this nice guy. What's his name? Well, Snaza. You know, I don't know. No, it's cool. Sounds strong, Snaza. But I followed your boy from the park over to here, and I kind of knew he was going to. I saw mud all over his car. I'm like, he's got a different route. I'm following it. I got a four-wheel drive, and so I hit it, and then he, you have to use your accelerator to keep up with Taylor. You know? Whoa, my car was making noises I'd never heard before. And I was like, all right. And Jean started going, woo, woo. And she just gets excited and starts making noises. And then we took a left at about 45 miles an hour with it, you know, and it was a 90 degree. I'm like, this is interesting. And I could see them looking back like, he's not following us, is he? And I'm like, yes, we are. And my truck is muddy. It was great. But when you have a, yeah?
The girls were following Google this morning, and it took them on that same road.
The girls came, okay, with the minivan. With the white, yeah, with the... With the mighty white, used to be white minivan, yeah. Yeah. All right. Way to go, Google. Don't trust that thing. Follow Jesus. But anyway.
I wish I did.
Yeah. He's going to guide you into all truth, so you got to stay near if you're going to get there. Stay in step. And when he tells you what things to come can be 20 years, or they can be in the next 2 seconds, right? And they both happen. Right now, following through, or off then. And that happens in both ways. Let's, Trent! When you're doing the right now, when he's telling you what is to come right now, and you're listening to heaven, at the same time, you're talking to somebody else. Everybody do that? It's two conversations going at once. You're having a conversation or an exchange of information with heaven, and you're exchanging with somebody, and you're flowing through, right? And so heaven is pouring through your words, through your eyes, through your mouth, through your prayers, and there's this pour through, like this, channeling. All you are is the spigot. You don't have to be, I mean, where's the water coming from for this thing? Some water tower a long ways away that's way up high, so there's pressure. And you can't get higher than heaven. And heaven produces pressure. And the life that's pouring through you when you're doing that has got pressure behind it. And it's got life. And there's push. And you don't have to work hard. You have to rest and just allow and speak. And be abiding a couple days before so you can do this. This is what God wants to do. He wants us to channel this out. Pour this through us like that. Because that's what God's doing. Sometimes this, you can tell, it's more important than others. Like, I prayed a lot for this. I love you guys. Jesus actually loves you guys through me. And coming here, I've spent time fasting and praying. I'm probably not fasting enough, but praying more. Who laughed at that? You laughed. Come on, dude. It's my birthday. I'm not giving you the mic anymore. Trent! So one of the places I go to sometimes that's really important to hear the word of God is India. Can you see Jeff in this picture? He's not there. But when you go to India, I mean, this was a church meeting. You know where it happened? You know where their church meeting happened? In a cement slab that used to be a house that got burned down. That was church. And that's where we meeted. And behind me, when I took this picture, was rice fields and birds flying around. And it didn't smell like America there, you know, or sound like it, you know. And so sometimes I get distracted because I'm preaching in India, and all of a sudden, one time a flock of parrots flew by. It's like they're sparrows. You know, when sparrows fall by here, we don't look at that. But when the flock of sparrows turns green and then yellow when they shift, you're like, whoa. That doesn't happen in South Dakota, you know. And so I remember one time that happened, and I totally got lost. I'm like, wow. You know, I had one of those shiny moments, you know, like, and I have enough ADD to totally lose my sermon. And I was like, wow. And then I went, where was I? And it's different there. And so I stay focused. I still get distracted, but I try to stay abiding, stay full of all that fruit so I can channel out, because the word of God's got to be heard, right? Got to be heard. Now, Trent, so one time, there was a young man in one of these crowds I was in. He was 11, and I saw him. And how do you pick out, I mean, how would you look at all those faces and pick out one and prophesy over them? How would you do that? But you're channeling. You're listening to heaven, and heaven said that one. So I walked over this kid, and I picked him up off the ground, and I kind of shook him a little bit so he was listening. That's legal in Jesus, right? I hope. And so I shook him a little bit until he was really focused, and I said, son, God is going to bring a fire to your life, and he's going to transform you in the inside, and that fire is going to cook in you for a while and then pour out. And you're going to save the lost no matter the cost. And he was very serious and said, okay, sir. Which is the thing, you get called sir no matter what. I asked Jeff, I said, Jeff, we're friends now. Don't call me sir. He said, okay, sir. I'm like, okay, it's hopeless. You're hopeless, Jeff. But in a really good way. I mean, he's hopelessly respectful. Come on, don't give me that. So I came back to this same area, same church, 10 years later. And I walk in, and there's this young man playing piano, and he's leading worship. And he stood up, and I went over to him, and I said, young man, I didn't pick him up, I just put my hands, I said, you are going to have the fire of God come into you and pour through, and you're going to pour out to others. And he started crying, and he goes, just like you said to me 10 years ago. And I went, whoa, you're that kid? And he said, same words. He said, and then he started crying, and he said, win the loss no matter the cost. And I was like, oh, and I just melted, because I thought, oh my gosh, you know, you're abiding, and you pour out something, and it sticks, and it transforms a life somewhat. Ah, this is worth it, right? This is worth it. What else is worth it? Not much. What else down here is worth that? Ah, you forfeit whatever you need to get there, to get to that, to become that channeling person, to become the person that can pour out that, to change a life. You sell out for that. That's a treasure you sell everything for. There's a scripture that shares this really clearly. And we're going to go, sometimes it's good to go backwards through a scripture. You ever found that to be true? We're going to go backwards through that. Trent! So, boy, you're getting really good at that. That's like instantaneous now. Trent, I think your name is really, it's powerful, man. It's good. This is the end of this scripture. Praying at all times. In the spirit with all prayer and supplication. That doesn't look real cool, but we're going to take it apart. Ready? Trent! Okay. This is what, if you go back and you look at it in the Greek, in the original language, this is what always, it says pray. So you're praying, and the type of prayer, there's different types of prayer, three different types of prayer in this one verse. They use the word prayer, but three times. Different ones each time. This is a general prayer, worship, communication. So you walk through your life talking, communicating, worshiping. You know, just you're doing your thing, always. But the word always is three different words, and they just said always. I'm like, you guys missed it here. Because these are the three words. The first one is the channeling of an act. So always means you are channeling, you are pouring out something that's pouring into you. Actions and words that are pouring into you from heaven, you're pouring them out. All right? And not just that, but you're pouring it in all or thoroughly or in the whole. You're not just pouring out part of it, you're pouring out the whole. You're not doing it a little ways, you're doing it thoroughly. So you're channeling what you're getting from heaven thoroughly all the time in a wholeness. And you're doing it, kairos, if you know that word, in every situation, in every opportunity, in every way. That is powerful. That's how Jesus did this. He received from his Father. He never did anything unless he saw the Father doing it, right? And that scripture, that word saw, means to perceive. It doesn't mean look with your eye. It means to perceive or understand. So what he understood, it was happening. And do you think he understood it by looking around? Nope. He understood about what was pouring into him. He understood looking upward. He wasn't looking at you. He was looking upward. And he understood and he perceived from heaven what God was doing. He looked in heaven and said, Father said, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And he saw that. And then he did it on the earth. He perceived and did. He perceived and did. That's how we're supposed to live. Same way Jesus did. Same way Jesus did. As he was, so are we in this world. Same way Jesus did. So this is our call to learn this. And then he says, do this with two kinds of prayer. First one is prosuke, which is actually the name of is there any place around here where you guys go to just be with God and meditate? Where's a good place around here? Like, do you go to a park? Do you go in the woods? Where do you go? A lake? Who goes to the lake? Yeah. Rich goes to a lake. Anybody else? Where's your, Spence, say the word for me.
Proika,
thank you. I always say it wrong. Proika. Where is your Proika?
Minnesota River.
Where's yours?
Oh, this church.
This church. You come here? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We need to have those. So, yeah. What?
Patio deck.
Sure. Cup of coffee. I don't know what you guys do. But so, we do this. We channel this all out while we're doing Proika. We're listening. We're listening and we're finding, we're discovering something from God. Stuff is pouring into us. We're seeing. We're perceiving. That's what Jesus is doing. And then that turns into the second one, which is a humble earnest crying out in spirit. Resting in spirit. It's an earnest crying out. It's a petition, a crying out for. So your listening turns into a crying out for. Does that make sense? Because when you listen to heaven, you hear not just words, but you hear intention. You hear the heart of God, right? You feel that. And so when you cry out with the heart of God. Has that ever turned into groanings for you guys? Expect that. That's happening more in the body of Christ. It turns into things too deep for us, and you go, "Whoa!" I've been doing that a lot lately. It's a good thing to do. Or it turns into words that you say with the passion of heaven. Or when you speak to someone, you say, I think I got a word for you, brother. And you share it. You don't just go, and God said this to you because he loves you. You know, you share it when you go, God loves you. And you put emphasis into it. You try to imitate what heaven says to what he's saying to you, right? We do that. And that's what channeling is. That's what pouring that out is. So we do this. Now, this is powerful. All by itself, this is powerful, right? In every situation, in every opportunity, in a fullness, all the time, pouring out through listening and receiving, perceiving, and pouring out with faith and with power in the Spirit, that's enough, isn't it? That's powerful. If I ask you to do that, you'd go, wow. But God puts a stamp on it, Trent, by framing it. Like, if you look at this picture, what do you see? I see the frame. Right? You don't even see the picture. It's the frame. And in this scripture, the frame is bigger than the scripture. Even though that scripture I just said to you, it's so powerful, the frame that it's in is huge. Trent. So you can even say it softly and it works. Here's the frame. It starts with the word finally. I'll read the whole thing and then go back. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the forces of evil in heavenly places. Let's go to the next one. The frame is this. It starts, that verse starts, finally. And when I was reading this, I just read it, and God said, wait, go back. I'm like, what? And I read the first word, finally. He goes, what does that mean? I went, oh, it means now that I've said all of Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just read that. I love Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books. And I went, oh my gosh. Because 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is full of so much power. There are scriptures there I will never comprehend. Scriptures about the hugeness of the body of Christ, about the inheritance, about what God chosen us to be, about the depth and length and breadth of what we're going to discover, about our impact, about ways of living that are so powerful. I mean, it's huge. He paints this marvelous, amazing picture, more than almost any other book does, of what the victory and the special occasion we have to bring all that God is. It's huge. And he does all that for 5 chapters, and he says, finally. Meaning, and now I'm going to tell you what this is for. And I'm like, wow, that's okay. That's a big word, finally. And it says, finally, be empowered, be positioned in the Lord. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. It's empowered by God, positioned in God with some things. And they are huge things with his dominion, strength, might, and power. Now, God has dominion. You ever just stared at some of those pictures of the Hubble telescope does, or the new one now, it is even more, and you just go, God went, all those worlds and stars and everything, God made with a breath. Wow. He just breathed and that happened. That's so much bigger than we think of him. I mean, you could think about how big he is the rest of your life and not get it. You'd still be very surprised what you got there. And that power that he has, the dominion that he has, and the dominion that Jesus won afterwards by his death and life, we're supposed to be empowered with that. That is put into your hand. And he says, be strong in my strength and my dominion and might and power. That's crazy. Right? But that is the truth. It's crazy. It's impossible for you to understand, but it is true. And he calls you to get it. He calls you to understand the impossible to understand. He calls you to walk in stuff that's impossible for you to walk in. And he knows he can do it in you. So this, if 10 people in Sisseton did this, it would change the whole region. I know that. The sick would be healed. The truth would be proclaimed. The dead would rise up. You know, demonic strongholds would be torn down, and this place would change. Just 10 people. I think you can do this. Actually, Jesus thinks you can do this, or he wouldn't have said this. So to you, he's saying, finally, be strong in my strength. Take your place in me. I'm handing you my dominion. It's like a holy checkbook. I'm handing you my dominion, my might, my power, and my forceful ability. I mean, God is intense. Did you read the Bible? God is intense. And not always. He's a father to the fatherless. He's the most gentle and lowly of heart. But he is, wow, he can put on a show. And he's got this heart of, I mean, have you ever been sobered by God? I've been sobered by God in 2 ways. Like, you drank or smoked something you weren't supposed to, and the Holy Spirit shows up, and you're like, clunk, and it's gone. You're like, oh, thank you for coming. When I first became a Christian, I've been sober when I got that way, but I've also been walking around just living my life, and the Spirit of God hits me, and I'm like, oh, I'm living so wrong. You are so much more than me. Why do I even live? You need to live through me. Sobering, right? And that's an intensity that is part of God, too. Even with all the gentle friendship he brings, there's an intensity. And there's a forcefulness. Have you ever prayed and just had the travail of God come through you for an area? How many of you have had that? And you feel the intense passion of God to change things. Wow. And you realize you are small and you have a small heart. And you realize how big God is when that happens. He has a forceful ability. The word means force. And God admires that. I don't understand the scripture completely, but Jesus said the kingdom of God has suffered violence because forcers take it by force. There's a person, woman or man, that God looks at and says, that's a forcer. That's somebody who drives in there and gets a hold of it. You got some in this church. I've seen a few. That comes from the Spirit of God. This is where you guys are headed if you don't say no. Don't say no. This is what the kingdom of God needs. If you don't say no, this is what will happen. Don't say no. This is the hope that God will put in you. You don't have this yet. I mean, you've heard this today. I said this today. Maybe this isn't all new news to you, but I've said this today and you've heard it. But that didn't take root fully in you and become a full plant yet, did it? You just kind of went, wow, that's an interesting thought. It needs to go from interesting thought to your life. This needs to be the way you live. You need to believe strongly that you were made on this earth to walk around hearing from heaven and pouring it out. Hearing from heaven and pouring it out. And not just that, but hearing from heaven and pouring it out with his strength, with his power, and taking dominion with his dominion and changing for Jesus. What's going on? It takes a humble people. It takes a humble people. Right? So how does this make you feel? How does your soul respond to this? When I first heard this from God, I'm like, whoa, you need bigger people. You need better people. Like, get someone else to pastor this church because I should just not. He's like, no, how about I make you more? And I'm like, that's a hard job. You know me. And he's like, I can do this. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how. Because I have a pretty high opinion of my weakness. That's stupid, isn't it? It's kind of a negative pride. Yeah, my weakness is so cool, you can't fix it. It's pretty established. I've been working on it. I don't know, it's dumb. But, you know, I've had to repent of thinking too highly of my weakness. Is that ridiculous?
Yeah.
You're being ridiculous too. Say, I'm ridiculous. You are right. Because you think too highly of your weaknesses. You think too high. You don't think highly enough of God.
Yeah.
You take your weaknesses and bring them up before the throne of God and try to say they're special. You're going to get, you're not even going to get it out your mouth. You're just going to go, oh, never mind. You know? Right? Never mind. Doctor says to Rich, nerve damage, pain for the rest of your life, sorry. And you say, I'm going to bring this in front of the throne of God, which is what you told me. I'm not going to settle for this. I'm going to bring this before God.
Amen.
And so it's changing.
Amen.
Impossible things.
Yes.
So it's changing.
Yes.
You look at your weakness and say, I'm just a small person. I'm just an inadequate person. I feel like I have an emotion that tells me I'm not enough. That disqualifies me from heaven because I have an emotion. It's a strong emotion. It happens often. It tells me I'm not enough. My mom said it to me. This is a long time ago. I've been repeating it a lot. I'm pretty sure of it. Bring that in before the presence of God. Say, I have a... Never mind. I mean, compared to the king who has the dominion, your Father in heaven speaking to you and saying, walk, finally walk in power, my power. I'm going to give it to you. Walk in my power. I'll teach you how. Walk in my power. I don't care how old or young. Rich or poor, you walk in my power. I'm going to talk to you, teach you to hear me, and you're going to channel that out with my might, with my dominion, and we're going to make a difference.
Amen.
We're going to bring light in a dark place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that you're weak, because the weak becomes strong.
Yes.
The poor become rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those bound drop their chains and become the picture of freedom.
Yes, God.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
You are not disqualified. Are you weak? That's excellent. I'm glad you're weak. I'm serious now. I'm not making goofy wordplay. I'm glad you're weak. I came into the kingdom super weak. It was an excellent place to start because I didn't hang on to nothing. I just said, if you got a new life, let's do it because mine sucks. I was just honest. I think I swore when I said it. Maybe you think sucks is a swear. I'm sorry. But that's what I said to him. My life sucks and blankety blank, blank, blank. And if you can fix it, let's do it. And with my rough, crude, stupid 1970s prayer, he went, all right. And we started a journey. And I said no for a while and then said yes and back and forth and up and down. And he got me to a place where I know him. Yeah. I know him. And I get to travel around the world telling people what I learned. Who thought that would ever happen? Goofy little Wisconsin dirt farmer. You know, that's never going to happen. And it has. And it's only because I believed something. I didn't say no. It's hard not to say no. You guys are feeling a no right now. I feel the no in your soul right now. I can feel it. Jesus can feel it. I think he's letting me feel it. He wants to eradicate your no with his yes. If you, right there in the middle of your no, if you kind of clear a little spot and say, God, if you could put a yes right here that glows and burns, like a, something with a fire on it and burn away all this no, I would love that. And you don't even know how to do that. You don't have that yes. You don't have to know how. You just clear a spot and say, I believe you can put a fire in here and burn away all this weakness, burn away all this no, and bring something of your spirit. You want that?
Yes.
Me too. Let's pray that one. Hmm. Lord, you just picture that. Clear a spot. Clear some room right in the middle of who you are. Lord God, we invite you, fire of heaven, healer of the nations, the one who speaks to his people and brings dominion. Come and put a fire inside of us that burns away the old and brings the new, that reclaims our heart, soul, mind, and strength till we love you with all that we are, till all of us becomes that new creation that you went to build. So that spreads everywhere. Lord, spread everywhere in us. We say yes to that in Jesus' name. Can you say yes to that?
Yes.
Takes a bit of courage. Now, I want you to look at that yes. Stay with your eyes. Look at that yes. You're going to have to say that yes 1,000 times. I'm not kidding here. You say that yes 1,000 times whenever somebody tries to put that out, and that's going to grow and burn, and it's going to transform you. 1,000 times. Plan on 1,000 times saying yes to that. When your soul says no, you say, nope, I'm saying yes to God. Have your way, Lord. Burn it all off. Make me new. Amen. Amen. Let's put the last slide up. Jesus was, so are we now in this world. He wants you to say yes to this. He wants to walk again in your days, around your friends, around your people. Yeah. I had a vision one time that was goofy. I'm goofy. I get goofy visions. God speaks your language. This is my language. I was praying one day, and God said, look at this. And so I had this little movie. This little blue, glowing, sparkly ball came up to me. It was the Holy Spirit. And he said, hey, Mike, you want a break? And I'm like, yes. I mean, how many of you, just if God said, you want a break for a while? How many of you would say yes? Oh, my gosh, yes. And he said, how about you go to heaven for a couple days, and I just take over here and run your body? I'm like, oh, let's do that. And I said, yes. And then in my movie, I went, floop, and I got to be up there. And I'm like, and it was cool because it was like rolling hills. And I'm like, oh, this is, it wasn't harps and floaty clouds. I was really glad of that. I feel much better with rolling hills and, you know, horses running by and whatever. I don't know. I liked it. I'm like, this is cool. And I'm walking around, and all of a sudden, this thought occurred to me. I'm like, what is the Holy Spirit doing with my day down there? And I got nervous. Like, is he promising anything to people? What's he doing with my checkbook? I wonder what he's telling my wife. This is going to be rough when I go back, because he's probably doing things I don't do. I'm not there to control him. This is a problem. He's doing whatever he wants. Oh, no. Now, should I have had that attitude? Maybe I should have had the attitude like, oh, cool. He's down there spending his money. He's talking to his daughter, my wife. He's talking to all the people around him. He's making promises. And he's going to help me keep them. I didn't have that attitude. I had the, oh, no. You know, what would you have? Would you go, oh, cool? How would you react? Seriously. And I came out of that dream, and God said, and he, after experiencing all that, I said, oh, I need a heart change, don't I? And the thing that stuck with me was when I said, I'm not there to control him. That made me repent. Because I realized I control him all the time. I limit him all the time. I say no, or maybe, or partway, all the time. Like Jonah's testimony. Do you? Of course you do. Of course you do. Let's stop that. That's good counsel sometimes. Stop it. But you have to say stop it in the name of Jesus with his power. Because it's not on you. You make the choice and he does it with his power. Because he wants this to be true. Now, I'm glad it's not super emotional right now. Because I want to ask a question. Will you go on a faith adventure? Will you trust him to let that power come into you and learn to not say no, learn to not control it, but allow it to do whatever it wants to? If you let Jesus do whatever he wants to every day, every moment, your life will change. Now, you're not going to succeed at that. It's going to be rough in the beginning. You might make one good choice out of 40. But make one good choice out of 40. And then tomorrow, make one good choice out of 35. And keep doing it until you're making 10 good choices and one bad one. Right? That'll happen. That's how it goes. You're not going to be good in the beginning. So what? Practice. Learn. Grow. Mature. Upward call of Christ. Get better at this. Fight for it. Force your way in. Ask him for his dominion. You're bringing dominion over your life, saying, God, bring your kingdom here. Right here. Bring your kingdom here. Replace who I am with who you are. Let's become us, like we said last night. Let's become one. Walk in me. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me and he gave himself for me. You can be as Jesus was on the earth. I mean, if you said to him, I'd like to raise the dead, would he say, come on, you? He wouldn't say that. He'd say, okay, I'll set it up. If you say, I'd like to heal the sick, he's not going to get bothered by that. He's going to go, I'll put that faith in you. I'd like to make changes. I'd like to be an encourager. I'd like to be a hope giver. For my birthday, I actually said, Lord, I'd like to bring fire. I'd like to become good at bringing fire. And I don't need to scream to do that. I just need to burn myself. I need to be fervent and burn myself and let myself be on fire and just show that to people. And I don't need to be loud. I just need to be pure in that. And I'm trying. I know I'm not everything. I'm trying. So, we need to change. Very first it said, change needs to happen. But it's available. Change needs to happen, but there's hope for it. Because we have a changing God in us. We have a God that gives you ability and grace to become more. It's his heart. It's why the cross happened. So if you have in you that change needs to happen, and my changes can bring me to channeling the Lord in his might and his dominion, that's the end of it. I might not be there tomorrow, but I'm going to make my one choice out of 40 today and get better and better and better. That's going to be my goal. And I will pay the price because there is a price. Does change means change? You guys like change? Even if God's bringing it, is it always fun? It is not. I don't do half what I used to do. My mind thinks very different thoughts than I used to. I've had to shut stuff down. I treat my wife very different than I want to. My soul. Right? I love my kids in ways I don't feel. I pray more than I am comfortable. I speak in front of people, and I would rather sit in the back a lot of times. But we do what Jesus is doing. That's an adventure. It's a painful adventure. You want to do it? You want to do that? Everybody, I mean, you can yell yeah and mean no, right? So I'm excited that you're saying yeah, but only partially. Because you have to say that yes 1,000 times. But I'd like to pray an anointing onto that yes, if you have it. And actually, I have a lot of trust in the crew I brought. They're not always, if you look at them and you meet them, you're like, oh, this is a nice lady. Or this is a cool guy. But they've made this choice and they're on this adventure. You guys all on this adventure? They're all on this adventure. They may not be a long ways down the road, but they're on the road. And that's all we're praying for, is the anointing to be on the road and stay on it. Right? We're not praying that today you will be making 40 out of 40 choices. We're saying that you will have the courage and the hope to stay on the road and get there. Right? That's realistic. You can do that. Stay on the road. Keep growing. Keep maturing. Keep seeking. And do it with each other. Make this something you talk about. Make this something you pray about. And stay on that road until you are that channeler of the Lord that he pours through you. I'd like to humbly, I'm going to say that so you understand, not from a place of we got it, you don't, nothing like that. We'd like to have you join. We'd like to be weak people at offering to pray with other weak people to become strong. Is that okay? Because weak people can pray for weak people. People on an adventurous journey can pray for other people to get on the journey. We're not there, but we're going.